Friends, as I have indicated, my intention during this series is not particularly to tell the story behind a particular hymn, but rather to look at the content of the hymn to see how it serves as an expression of our faith. And perhaps the intention is even further to make us a little more conscious of the words that we sing when, as is our custom, we sing hymns in worship together. Now, I had some choices to make when I picked the hymns to include in this series, and perhaps this choice was influenced by the fact that the writer of the hymn was a woman named Fanny Crosby. Now, you may recognize that name. She wrote a considerable number of hymns. And for instance, in our book of praise, the hymns Blessed Assurance, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, praise him, Jesus our Blessed Redeemer, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. And 'tis the blessed hour of prayer. All of these are hymns by Fanny Crosby. Now, this particular hymn was published in 1875, which is just about this time, the time that this church building was being constructed. And there is some interest in the story of Fanny Crosby's life. She was blind from infancy. She lived to the age of 94, mostly in the area of New York and New Jersey. And she didn't have strong church ties with a single denomination, but actually associated herself with a number of churches through the course of her life. And in fact, the music for this hymn was composed by Robert Lowry, who was at one point in her life the minister of the congregation that she was attending. Fanny Crosby's life was challenging and difficult. One of the ways in which she gave release to her faith emotion was in the writing of hymns. In fact, it's said that she wrote so many hymns that editors of hymn books published them under other names because it looked like they were including too many Fanny Crosby hymns. And it's an area that's to a great degree undocumented because she lived a very ordinary life. And in the 19th century, ordinary lives didn't get many footnotes in history. She was perhaps made known through the work of two people who had a prominent evangelistic career in the States. Ira Sankey, associated with music, and Dwight Moody, who was the preacher. And they, at some point, came across Fanny Crosby's hymns and used a lot of them in their special evangelistic services. Now, critics have said that Fanny Crosby's poetry is not very exotic. In fact, some people have been very critical of her poetry as being kind of mundane and so forth. But I think the endurance of her hymns has demonstrated, at least, that she was able to capture and reflect the sentiments of ordinary people as they live the faith sometimes with great struggle, and somehow the hymns that she composed touched people and became a desired expression of their faith in worship. She also, as is reflected in her hymns sometimes, memorized huge portions of scripture as a child. It's said that she, lacking sight to read, was helped to memorize the Gospels and large sections of the Bible. So that's just a little background. Her hymns are hymns of a personal nature, reflecting personal devotion. Now, what do we draw from a hymn like this one? All the way my Savior leads me. Well, I'm going to pull out briefly three themes that are reflected in this hymn. They're not unique to this hymn. They're themes that are reflected in a number of the hymns that we sing. But three that come to mind as one looks at what she was trying to express in the words of this hymn. One thing that comes through is the importance of the past and the value of memory. This hymn, let me illustrate that in that first verse. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell, for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. It is that reflecting back over life, you see, that becomes a part of the foundation of her faith. And as I say, many hymns reflect that, and certainly the scriptures reflect that. I mean, let me draw a little contrast for you between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I mean, the writings in the New Testament were composed over a fairly short span of time. Generation and a half. Whereas in contrast, the Old Testament story covers centuries. And wasn't that not a significant part of the message in the Old Testament, the continuity of God's care for his people? And it was not just what you experienced in your lifetime and in your life of faith, but the way that God had worked with his people through the generations. Sometimes getting a faithful response from people and sometimes being quite ignored by his people. But that value in seeing the constancy of the Lord's care. And that's a significant part of the faith we express, I'm sure. We live here in Alberton Church fairly conscious of our history. I mean, there are a number of people here this morning who have long roots in this community, long associations with this congregation. And that's part of what gives us a cohesiveness together, that sense of being part of something that's been here for a time. And that is true, of course, also in the sort of faith connection which we each one feel as we think about how we came to hear about the Christian faith in our homes, perhaps in this very church. But in any case, looking backwards and remembering, you know, if We didn't have a memory to look back over things we'd missed so very much. Now, sometimes people regret their memories because what comes to mind when they begin to cast their minds back are all negative things, but let me suggest that in the life of faith, while we're not dismissive of negative experiences, we find our strength and our encouragement on the positive things that we have shared in faith with others around us, or that we have seen and received from the hand of God. So there is this importance of the past and of the value of memory in the faith we profess, and this hymn prods us to remember it. And as I say, it's not an uncommon theme in the hymns that we sing. The hymn also, of course, stresses the importance of trust. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Lots of scripture references in this second verse. Christ, the living bread. This reference to water from the rock, a reference to Old Testament history, the people of Israel in the wilderness. But you see, the hymn is about being led by the Lord. And, you know, if we're going to follow somebody, there are some things we need to know. I mean, there may be a great strength to be drawn from being a follower of someone, but there are also great hazards to be experienced in following if we just follow anybody at all. And so in this hymn, there is a recitation of the some of the positive reasons for being a follower of Jesus Christ. That sense of knowing something about him. And not just having read it in a book, but having experienced it emotionally in the living of life. And then, of course, following implies trust. Because, if we're following, we don't always know precisely where the person we're following is leading us, but we trust that it is in the right direction and to the right purpose. And so there is a necessary trust, particularly at those moments when the way may look uncertain. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. You know? That winding path image kind of suggests that there are times when we can't quite see the road very far ahead of us. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. And of course, there is, along with trust, an element of commitment if we're going to follow someone. And our gospel lesson from Matthew this morning is a passage in which Jesus made reference to following. It's in the form of an invitation, a familiar one. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And then Jesus adds, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not saying that there is not a burden and not a yoke involved in following, but by the grace of God, Jesus says, to be a follower of mine is to find that the burdens are lightened. In common with many hymns, this hymn also speaks about hope. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. One can sense in the words that Franny Crosby used in this hymn an awareness of struggle, life and times in which hope was sometimes perhaps a little dim. There was an interesting side to Fanny Crosby's life. She was never rich. She was paid actually very little for most of her writing. And she had the habit of giving away everything that she got. She was very generous to those in need. She spent a part of her life in the what we would today call the inner city of New York, in a world in which many of the people were very poor, an immigrant world, a struggling world, and a world in which hope was sometimes hard to come by. And hope, you know, has two dimensions to it. It's the matter of hope for right now. And, of course, in the Christian faith, a hope for the future as well. That the value of the present struggle or uncertainty is outweighed and outmatched by the eternal hope that the faith provides. Now, these themes, the importance of the past and memory, the importance of trust and the importance of hope, are all kind of interwoven in the hymn. I took them verse by verse, but they're all intermingled together. And the reality is, of course, that those things are intermingled together in life also. You know, your world is not divided up into nice little segments that always stay separate from each other. It's not as though we are a people who spend some time appreciating the importance of the past, or sometime thinking about trust, or sometime thinking about hope. They all get mingled in together, seemingly sometimes in even unrelated thoughts. And so our celebration of God's provision for us through the decades and centuries, long before we were even born. Our trust and willingness to follow because we have experienced the presence of God in our lives. And our hope. Our hope in the moment, even though we don't quite know what's happening next. But then the hope of knowing that our lives are in God's hands forever. Fanny Crosby uses a little technique which hymns sometimes employ also, and that is the repeating of lines at the end. You notice that as you sang the hymn? That kind of the last thought in each verse is repeated. And we draw from that the central things. You know, for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. And then, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. A lot here to think about. Good basis for some personal spiritual reflection. An interesting challenge for us in the living of the faith. And encouragement too. So I leave it with you, and with the realization that, you know, one of the challenges of familiar hymns is we may sing the words without ever engaging with them very much. In part because oftentimes we know them. Oh, we might not, if asked to stand up and recite them, be able to do so, but someone begins to play some music and we sing the first line, the second line jumps to mind immediately, which sometimes confuses us when hymn words have been updated because we find ourselves singing an older version. But Fanny Crosby's hymns, pretty much as we use them today, are as they were originally published. But I leave this with you to ponder and to rejoice in the truth that in the grace of God, God desires that sort of personal connection with us that can be described as our following him. Friends, this is all good news. Think on it. Celebrate it together. Thanks be to God. Amen.